Luke chapter 23, verse 34 is where I want to take my text today. The Bible said, then said Jesus. Now he's hanging on the cross between these two thieves, these malefactors. And Jesus says something. And this is what I want to preach on. Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them. They were crucifying him. They were mocking him. They'd been lying on him. They were killing him as far as humanly possible. And Jesus Christ hung there on the cross and said, Father, forgive them. I want to preach this morning on forgiveness in the light of Scripture. I'm 58 years old, been saved since I was 28, and known a lot about, been around Christianity all my life. And there's something I struggle with, and that's forgiveness. I struggle with it. And there's something else that comes along. Forgiveness is a set of two horses in a harness. The other's bitterness. Bitterness and unforgiveness run together. And I don't think that you're ever going to get to a place in this life, if you're trying to live for the Lord, where you're not going to need the grace of God to forgive people. And if there is anything that Jesus Christ taught us on the cross while he was dying for our sins, it is the doctrine of forgiveness. If the devil, be honest with you, most of the folks in this church from this side to this side, I'm really not too worried about liquor getting you. I doubt that there's very many people in this church that liquor will get you. I doubt that there's very many people in this church that drugs is going to get you. I'm honest with you. I doubt that. Hopefully that lust and immorality won't get very many of you. I pray to God that won't happen. But I want to tell you what can get anybody in this building. And I don't care how long you've been saved. And I don't care how well you serve God. Unforgiveness can get you. And unforgiveness can get me. And I'm preaching today not down at you. I'm preaching across at you. All right? Because I struggle with unforgiveness. Jesus Christ there hanging on that cross, and just in a short while the sun is going to refuse to shine. The earth is going to quake. The rocks are going to rent. And the blood of the Lamb of God is dripping down to the ground, and He is there, our substitute and our sacrifice and our Savior. And He's going to be separated from His Heavenly Father. And yet, in the midst of all that, in His body marred more than any man, His face more than any, His visions more than any man, and right there in the midst of all that scoffing and mocking, and the two malefactors, the Bible said, they were cursing Him and telling Him stuff like, if you can't save yourself, save us, you know. They're hollering, if you're the Son of God, come down from the cross. And they put a crown of thorns upon His head, and they beat Him till He doesn't even look like a man. And yet, Jesus Christ says something to His Father, Father, forgive them. I want to tell you something. That's the difference in Christianity. Now, there ain't nothing in the world like that. And the thing that sets Christianity apart from anything else in this world is the power of God in relationship to situations in your life like this. Forgiveness is a major spiritual battle in our lives. There's three areas that you need to learn to forgive in. Number one, forgiving others. Number two, forgiving yourself. And number three, forgiving God. In my little experience in pastoring, in my own experience in life, there's three areas. I'll tell you, I have a hard time forgiving Reg Kelly. When I sin, I do something stupid, I do something I knew I shouldn't have done, I have a tough time forgiving myself. And I'm going to tell you something, if I did not have this Bible, I wouldn't even believe that God had forgiven me. Because I don't feel sometimes like God has forgiven me, because that maybe my past sometimes hangs in the hallways of my soul. But I've got God's Word here that says that He has forgiven me all of my trespasses. And I have to take God at His Word. There's been times in my life when I've gotten bitter at God. And I've questioned God, and I've said, God, why does this have to be, and why does that have to be, and so forth and so on. And then there's times when I've just horribly, horribly fight and struggle with forgiving other people for the offenses and things that they've done. If we're not careful, now listen to me. There's one thing God has given me, and that is I don't like ritualism. I don't like phony baloney junk. I want the real deal. And I'm telling you something, whenever I'm struggling with forgiveness, I don't want to kind of shove it back in the corner. I don't want to throw a cloth over it, a rug over it. I don't want to kind of just act like it's not there, because I know something that unforgiveness will do to me. It'll rob me of my joy. It'll quench the Holy Spirit. It'll grieve the Holy Spirit. The work of God will suffer. People can sense it in you, or you lose your testimony. People sense that something's wrong. And the work of God and Jesus' glory is hindered in our lives. And so there's one thing I like to do. I want to deal with it. Amen. I mean, I'm just the kind of person, I'll go out in the field and I'll sit down on a rock and I'll say, God, right now we're going to deal with this thing. God, whatever you got to talk to me, tell me, bring scripture to my mind, do in my heart, drag the junk out, show me who I am, show me what the problem is. God, I want to deal with it. And I pray this morning that we'll all want to deal with it. Amen. That will truth. He said, you know the truth, and truth will set you free. Now I want you to take some notes today. If you got a pen, you want to write something down, I'm going to give you something. Number one, I want to preach about the misunderstanding about forgiveness. I want to tell you, I believe this will help us. Now you listen to me tight this morning. If you've got situations in your life where as quick as I said that, somebody came up in your mind, situations came up in your mind, and I mean there's things and you've been wrestling with this and you think, have I forgiven or haven't I forgiven? I want to preach for just a little bit about the misunderstandings about forgiveness. Number one, forgiveness is not forgetting. Now some of you are going to disagree with that, but I'm sorry. I'm right and you're wrong. Can't help it if you're wrong. You know why I know that? Because I'm telling you, you're so depraved, I'm so depraved. Did you know something? I can forget all the good you ever did, Phil. I remember that thing you did I didn't like. And because you have a flesh nature, you're always going to be able to remember. Now listen to me. Don't let anybody tell you that, well, if you haven't forgot, you haven't forgiven. That's not true. That's just flat not true. I want to tell you something. That fact of it is, that's stupid. Because if you've been hurt and wounded and you just say, well, I will forget it, and you forget it, you'll walk right back in and get your head bit off again, you're stupid. Now, listen to what the Bible says. The Bible says that in our relationship to our sins, but by the way, you're not God either. Okay? God says that He does not remember our sins against us. There's a difference in remembering sins with animosity and remembering sins against people. Not remembering against people. You can remember the offense, you can remember the hurt, but you don't have to hold it against them. All right? In fact, the truth of it is, I think it's good for you to remember it in the sense that you're understanding the work that God is doing in your life and that you're seeing how that God truly can change your heart and that you don't feel the same way that you used to feel against those people. All right? Now listen, forgetting, a lot of people think you've got to forget to forgive. That is not true. You ought to get that out of your heart. But it's how you remember it is the key to whether you've really forgiven or not. All right? God doesn't remember. Listen, we're depraved people. And God's going to use your memory to work in you spiritually about things. Second of all, I'll say this before I go further. I don't think it has to dominate your mind at all. I didn't say that. I just think that if you remember it, what you connect with it is God's grace and the ability that God has given you to forgive. You don't have to hold it against them. Number two, forgiveness, now listen to me, is not becoming friends with people who have hurt you. Now you just sit on this a little bit. This is contrary to some of the soup and pink tea and lemonade back scratching preaching that you're going to get that comes out of humanistic ideas. But forgiving someone does not necessarily mean that you're friends with them. Because I'm going to tell you something. Jesus Christ forgave everybody concerned with that thing, but you never saw Jesus butting it up with those people. Huh? Did you know that? Friendship has to do with fellowship. And I'm going to tell you what. Forgiving people doesn't even mean that you can have fellowship with them. Uh-huh. I'm going to preach till there ain't no amens coming. All right? Listen to me. Forgiving people does not mean that you are buddies with them. It just means that you have released them, that you have forgiven them. But it doesn't necessarily mean, it could be that you're friends now that you've forgiven. But let me tell you something. If they hold it against you and they've got animosity toward you and all that garbage, how are you going to be friends? By the way, there's some people who do things that has done things maybe to offend you, and you don't need to be around them. You don't need to be friends with them. But that doesn't mean, hey, listen, I don't have to be a friend to you to forgive you. If I've got to be a friend to forgive you, you told me that in the Bible. Jesus Christ forgave that whole crowd. Now watch it. Wait, hang on just a minute. When Jesus Christ was dying on the cross of Calvary, He was 100% man, 100% God. But I'm going to tell you this. This statement, if His Father forgive them, was given on the sense of Him being a man. And I want you to look at this from His humanity, because He was 100% man. And I want you to look at it through the prism of a man forgiving men. And He said, Father, forgive them. Listen, these people were doing this stuff. He didn't go around buddying up to Pilate. He didn't say, hey, Pilate, let's go out for supper. Let's go down to McDonald's, have a cup of coffee. Let's get over this thing. He forgave them. Forgiveness doesn't have anything necessarily to do with you being nicey-nicey. Do you know what some of your problems is? You've been told that you've got to be nicey-nicey, friendly-friendly, fellowshipy-fellowshipy, but you've never really dealt with it, and you know there's a problem there, and it's all superficial, so it's now down inside, but we put on this little fakey-o attitude on the outside to everything lovely when it's not lovely. Forgiving does not mean that you'll forget it. Forgiving does not mean that you'll be friends. Forgiving does not mean that you'll have any fellowship. Let me tell you what it takes to have fellowship. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of His Son cleanses us from all sin. You cannot walk with people who are not walking in the light. Just can't do it. Bad as you may want to. Okay? You show me in the Bible where Jesus had fellowship with the crowd that He forgave. Even after His resurrection. I'm not talking about judicial forgiveness that God gives to save a man's soul. I'm talking about a human relationship forgiveness here now. That's what I'm talking about. We're not God. We're not the judge that forgives. We're talking about a human relationship here. Not only that, but forgiveness is not what you do because you feel like it. Doesn't have nothing to do with it. It's an obedience to a command of God. God says forgive them, you forgive them. Because God commands it, not because you feel like it. Well, they're being nicer to me now, I think I'll forgive them. Did you know what? You're not even supposed to forgive them if they come up and ask you to forgive them. You're supposed to forgive them, period. Because God told you to. Forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Can I tell you, not only forgiveness, but most of the Christian life I know about in this Bible is not because I feel like it, because I'm commanded to. Now, I feel like coming to church. I feel like singing. I'm glad I did, but I don't always feel like coming to church. And I don't always feel like singing. And I don't always feel like reading my Bible. And I don't always feel like praying. And I don't always feel like going to the hospital. And I don't always feel like caring about people. But God commands me to love one another. And I do it out of obedience. And forgiving people is a command. It's not based on your feeling. So I don't have to get all emotionally wishy feeling. Oh, I wake up someday and I've took the right kind of pills and I feel better. To decide to forgive somebody. God says forgive them, you forgive them. Period. That's the way it is. Forgiveness is not an emotion. It is an act of obedience. I mean, it's what it is. Okay? You let God have control of the issue, of the people, and of the situation. Next, forgiveness is not just a first-time thing. Remember when Peter came to Jesus Christ? Somebody had offended Peter 8 times that day, I know. Somebody had hurt his feelings 8 times. You say, how do you know that? Because Peter answered his own question before he ever gave Jesus a chance to answer it. Lord, how many times shall my brother offend me and I forgive him? 7 times? I'll answer the question, Lord. What did Jesus say? I say not unto you 7 times, so 7 times 70, 490 times. So it's not a first-time issue. Let me tell you, how many figured out that you're going to have to forgive people over and over and over and over? Karen, can I ask you something? Karen, how many times have you forgiven me since we got married? You haven't kept track. Bless the Lord, we're still on number one then. Amen. Do you see what? Can anybody here imagine how many times Karen would have to have forgiven me since we've been married for 33 years? How many times have you had to be forgiven in your marriage? Yeah. So it's not a first time thing. Hey, you just want to get used to it. You are going to be in the, if you're a Christian, you're going to be in the forgiving business till the last breath you, oh, Lord, forgive that doctor for doing that to me. Lord, forgive that nurse. She didn't hit the vein. You're going to be forgiving people till the last breath. You don't, it is not a one-time, first-time thing. You just will get it in your noggin today and in your heart. I am going to be in the business of forgiving people till the very day I die. Okay? Forgiveness is the way to get freedom. God wants you to be free. God's not telling you and commanding you to forgive people because He wants to make life tough on you. He wants you to be free. He wants you to have a whistle. I want you to have a song. I want you to have a bump in your step. I want you to have a happy day. I want you to have a little joy in your heart. So He tells you, commands you to forgive. But let me say, in this thing of misunderstanding forgiveness, forgiveness is a fight. It's a fight. How many struggle with forgiving people? How many tell you what? I fight it. Amen. My flesh don't want to forgive nobody for nothing, ever. And I know something about your flesh. Same flesh I got. But my spirit, the new man in here, wants to forgive and knows it must. But it's a fight. The Bible said that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty through God to pulling down the strongholds. Unforgiveness becomes a stronghold that Satan uses on us to keep us from going and going for God. Let me tell you something. I'm going to tell you now, listen. I've been struggling on forgiveness in my life recently. You know what God is delivering me, and you know how He's doing it? Right here. I've been reading whole books. Just reading whole books. 1 John, Ephesians, Colossians, Philippians. 5 and 10 chapters of Psalms. Letting the Word of God get into my heart. You want to win the warfare, you get in this book. You pray and you read this Bible and God will give you victory. He can do it. I'm telling you, He can do it. Must be preaching. Nobody said amen there. Unforgiveness will kill my spiritual joy and vibrancy. It just will. All right? Now, we've talked about misunderstanding forgiveness. Can anybody tell me some of the points? Those of you who are still awake? All right? All right? It's not forgetting. Just because you remember it does not mean you haven't forgiven. All right? It is not being friends. It is not having fellowship. It may result in friendship, and it may result in a fellowship and friendship, but it doesn't have to be to forgive. You don't have to feel like it to forgive. Okay? Now, and it's not just a first-time thing. You're just going to have to do it over and over again. Okay. Sometimes I feel like stopping preaching and turn around and talking to God. I say, Lord, this ain't going too good. But I'm going to preach it anyway. Number two, we've talked about misunderstanding forgiveness. Number two, we're going to talk about managing forgiveness. Managing forgiveness. Managing forgiveness is not easy, but it's right. Did you know most of the things in the Bible is not easy, but it's right? Amen. Keeping yourself pure is not easy, but it's right. Staying with your spouse is not easy, but it's right. Doing what's telling the truth is not always easy. How many of you have figured out telling the truth ain't always easy, but it's right. Forgiveness is not always easy, but it's right. Now, first thing, if you want to manage your forgiveness business right, forgive right away. Forgive right away. I mean quick, forgive. Now think about this. Did you know Jesus Christ forgave him right there and then? He was still on the cross. He had not been buried. He had not risen from the dead. He had not ascended back to heaven. And he forgave him right there. You learned something. Jesus forgave him right there. When you get offended, forgive quick. Why? That does not give time for bitterness to set in. If you don't forgive quick, then you open up the way for bitterness to start setting in and you start cranking that thing around. Pretty soon it's embedded itself in your heart. And pretty soon it's harder to forgive later than it is right now if you're not careful. Because you've built up this case. You've built up all this stuff that's in there. Jesus forgave them right afterwards. We need to forgive immediately, forgive quickly. And again, that quick forgiveness kills the ability for bitterness to set in. Number two, don't only forgive real quick, but forgive in allowing God to handle the offense. You know what he said? Father. Now notice this. He didn't say, I forgive you all. Now listen to this. Watch this. Jesus Christ did not make some kind of a pronouncing announcement saying, I forgive all you guys. Did you know what he did? He committed, I believe this, I know this for a fact. Jesus Christ had already forgiven them. He was making a public announcement and turning it over to his Father. Now you listen to me. One time I was having a bad situation with a person. And have you ever dealt with people to you just don't even, you know, they're not making sense. This is nuts. This is, how many's ever been there? I mean, they're on another planet. Either that or they're plumb reprobate. I mean, they're coming up with the most screwy, crazy, idiotic bunch of twisted thought processes I've ever heard tell of in my life. And I was dealing with a situation like that one day, and I'm telling you the truth, this is just like the Holy Spirit whispered to me and says, give him to me. You can't handle it. You know what Jesus Christ is doing? Father, forgive them. He's committing it to his Father. Can I tell you something? You can't fix the people that's done you dirty. You can't fix them. You've got to turn them over to God. You just ain't going to fix it. I don't care how good you think you are. I don't care how nice you think you may be, how talented and how psychological you may be. The only one that could really fix that person that offended you is God. When God fixes them, they'll be fixed. But as long as we try to fix them, they're not going to be fixed. You see, he had already forgiven and he was committing it to God and knowing this, watch this, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. God knows the whole truth about it all. You and I don't know the whole truth about it all. We can't even see the whole thing. We're boxed into our little viewpoint, isn't that right? Hey, there's seven different spiritual gifts sitting right here in this church. One thing happens here today and seven different viewpoints of it, seven different ideas about it. But God knows the whole story. I mean, I don't know how many times in my life I have thought I really knew the deal. Only to find out later, I did not know the whole truth about that matter. And boy, what an idiot I felt like. Number three, in managing forgiveness. Now, I'm telling you what, this one here is the one that choked my goat. But I'll tell you what, God's going to help me with this. I just know He's going to help me. I want to remind you about a story. Jesus Christ had risen from the dead. And the disciples were out on the boat and they were there and they looked over there on the shore of the Sea of Galilee and there was the Lord. How many remembers that story? And he was cooking fish and what was fish and honeycomb? Is that bread? And he told them, says, have you come? And he told them, said, come and dine. And the disciples took the boat over, got out of the boat, and Jesus sitting over there. And he said, how you doing, guys? Good to see y'all. So I want to talk to you about what happened the other day. Did you see how them people treated me? Did you see that one guy hit me? Did you see that one guy puck on my beard? Y'all listen to me. Forgiveness, managing forgiveness is when you can come to the place, you don't have to talk about it to everybody. You don't have to talk about it to everybody. You know how God showed me? That I haven't forgiven? I just got to talk about it to everybody. I got to discuss it. Now, it's quiet in here now. Isn't it the most common thing when somebody's hurt you or offended you to find somebody you feel like will listen to you vent yourself. Do you know what the wildest thing in the world is? When Jesus Christ met those disciples on the off the shores of the Sea of Galilee, he never uttered one word about what went on the other day when they were crucifying him, spitting in his face, falsely accusing him and everything. He never said, I'll tell you what, can you believe how they treated me? He did not rehearse the crucifixion to those guys. And when you have forgiven, you don't have to rehearse it all with everybody. And God showed me, said, you're probably, I said, Reggie, I'm going to show you. You are not like Jesus Christ. You are not like Jesus Christ. You get hurt, you think you've got to rehearse this deal with anybody that'll listen. Jesus Christ was, the two disciples were walking on the road to Emmaus. And the disciples, all of a sudden Jesus appeared there. And he just started telling them what a bunch of dirty dogs them Roman soldiers were. He just started talking about how they pushed that crown of thorns and how they buffeted him and how they took the scourge and pulled the flesh off his back. No, he never said a word. You read that account, he never mentioned what those people did to him, the people who offended him and hurt him. You know why? Because he was past it and gone. It wasn't dominating his mind. Lord, this is good stuff. We need it. It won't be liquor, Lord, that gets this church, but it could be unforgiveness. It won't be liquor, Lord, that pulls some family out of here, some individual, makes them quit you, but it could be unforgiveness. He never brought it up to the Emmaus disciples. He never brought it up in the upper room. He never brought it up to anybody what those people had done to him. Isn't that amazing? How many here have been hurt and you never brought it up to anybody? There's one. Okay, bless your heart. You are more spiritual than I'll ever be. Okay. I just want to challenge you today. Listen, but let's get there. Let's get to where we don't have to rehearse and talk about it. Let's say, God, you give me in my heart forgiveness so that I don't have to talk about that to anybody. Number four, forgiveness is when you can pray for those that's offended you. Now, listen to me. I got launched into one time because I said from this pulpit that at the Basic Institute of Life Principles seminar, he teaches to pray for those who've offended you every time that Satan tempts you about thinking bad. And the reason I preached it because I tried it. It works. And the best thing you can do when Satan brings to your mind those people that what they did to you, it starts tormenting your mind with that and just starting doing all that ungodly and he's stirring up that flesh and that rot in your mind. The best thing you can do is start praying for them. I didn't say, oh God, kill them quick. No, not that kind of prayer. But just pray for them. Pray for their family. Pray for their life. Pray for their children. Pray that God would bless them with truth and salvation and whatever. Praying for those who've offended your works. Somebody said, well, I've been praying and it never did nothing for them. I don't care if it never does nothing for them, it does something for me. I think I'm the one who needs the help, amen. I hope it does something for them, but if it doesn't, it does something for me to pray for my enemies. And I'm going to tell you a little something. Now, this is how it works with me. I don't know how it works with you. But if I pray for my enemies list gets shorter. It does. I'm honest with you. I've discovered that. Somehow or another, I don't feel like they're my enemy anymore. Forgiveness is when you're able to continue on in God's work and God's will with the right spirit. Let me tell you something. Jesus Christ, and I believe this, put in the scripture like this to show us something. He wasn't done with his work. He was done with the redemptive work when he said it's finished, dying for our sins. But he wasn't done, and he's still not done. But you know what the lesson here is for you and I? That if we won't forgive, we'll get stalled up. In other words, you know what? Jesus forgave so he could go on about the Father's business. I'm saying this, that he died and he was buried and he arose again and he ascended and he's interceding for us now. But what if Jesus would have been on the cross as a human being and said, I will not forgive these guys? There's a lesson for us. I'm going to tell you about Reg Kelly. I can't go forward. That's why the devil wants to set you up with trouble. Because if he can set you up with trouble and offenses and get you buried and bogged down in it, you're not going forward with God. Amen. So figure it out. Be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. The devil is setting things up to try to boggle you down, and so you aren't going forward in the work and the will of God. That's the whole deal. Forgiveness enables you to keep going and rolling with God. And if you don't, you'll get hung up and bogged down with unforgiveness, and you won't be doing nothing. And I have seen people, and you've seen people, and you know people who just say, I can't get over it, I can't get over it, I'm not going to get over it. And next thing you know, somebody said one time, said, if you don't get over forgiveness, if you don't get over unforgiveness, unforgiveness will get over you. It'll control you. Forgiveness is being able to look at people, see people, and think about people and not wish evil or vengeance upon them. Got to get to where you think about them, you don't wish evil on them. It's all part of that praying thing. Joseph, you got to rise up, you got to get higher. Romans 8:28. Now watch this. When we know that all offenses work together for good to them that love the Lord. We know that all this bad junk that's happening works together for good to them that love the Lord. See, we like to think about that some things, but God says all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. The people that's hurting you, the people that's hurt you, the bad things going on. What about Joseph? That's what Joseph saw and understood. He said, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Can I tell you something? You're not going to grow very much being around people who never do anything wrong to you. You're going to grow by having offenses that humble you and get you seriously into the Word of God and cause you to respond in the way the Bible teaches. Now listen, how many would like to hear me have a pity party? There's no boy I went to high school with. You know how young people going crazy. If he thought somebody was hurting his feelings, he'd turn around and go. I've done that, haven't you? How many's ever? Man, life, you can't have a birthday party, have a pity party. Amen. But just to be honest with you here, right here in this little old town, I've experienced jealousy. And jealousy is cruel as a grave. I mean, I've experienced jealousy, envy, to the point of where you could literally feel it coming out of those people. I've experienced hatred. I've always said, like B.R. Lakin said, I'm just glad they don't know the truth about me. But I've had a lot of lies told on me. I mean, stuff that, you know, I mean, it turned tomcat yeller, you know what I mean? I've had gossip. I've been defiled. I've been crooked in business. If I just had the money people owed me today, I'm serious with you. If I just had the money people crooked me out of and hooked me out of in business and dishonest, stolen from, and if I'm not careful, if I let Satan, you know, and I've had all manner of this, that, and the other said this, you know, if I'd let it, he'd just canker me up. But I wouldn't be worth a dime for God in no way, shape, or form. Let me give you this. You're going to have to forgive people that never ask you to forgive them. Quit waiting on them because they ain't going to ask you. Somebody asks you to forgive you, you're a rare person in life. Do you know that? If somebody ever comes to you and says, listen, I wronged you, I sinned against you, I did you dirty, I need you to forgive me, that you mark that one down on your calendar because that's a rare day in your life. Most of the people in your life that have offended you are never going to come. You're going to, Father, forgive them. Well, they know not what they do. You're going to have to forgive them if they never ask you. Now I'm going to ask you a question. Two thieves on the side, and I'll prove this humanity deal about you right here to Jesus Christ. Two thieves on the cross. One of them died saved that day, the other died lost. Did Jesus forgive both of them or not? Yeah. Humanly speaking, we're not talking about the judicial salvation forgiveness. We're talking about him as a human being, as a man, forgiving that man. That man died and went to hell. And the people around the cross died and went to hell. And they never came to Jesus Christ and asked Him. Nobody walked up that cross and said, "Oh Jesus, I spit on your face a while ago. I'm sorry, would you forgive me?" They died and went to hell. And you're going to have to forgive people who are going to die and go to hell. Listen, I'm telling you, that statement He made hanging on that cross is so much more deeper than what I can even imagine. People low down, sorry, mean as the devil, they ain't going to ask you to forgive them. You just will forget about it. It'd be a rare deal, but you're going to have to forgive them. I know in this church house, just as every church house across the country, in this pulpit as in every pulpit, and I'll tell you what, I've had it good as a preacher. I'm honest with you. I ain't had it half as bad as the average preacher. That's the flat truth of it. I've seen things done to preachers, and unbelievable. But you know what? You people are no different. There's no temptation taking you such as common to man. God will help you to bear it and make a way of escape. Let me tell you something. Spouses have been left and betrayed. I mean, you can serve God. Let me tell you something. And your spouse will walk off and leave you. And you're hurt. And there are people all across America hurting because their spouse has walked out on them. They're parents. Now, I'll tell you something. I think everybody ought to be a parent sometime in their life. But you raise your kids in church. You sacrificed for them. You prayed with them, loved them, taught them about the Bible, and then they just slough it off like it was nothing. Let me tell you kids something. You want to hurt your mom and dad, you just slough off the faith that they tried to pass into your soul and your heart. You act like you could take it or leave it. But you know what? Parents have got to forgive kids for doing that. Isn't that right or not? You cannot get bogged down not forgiving your own children. Every parent's children are going to disappoint them in some way, shape, or form. And you've got to learn to forgive your own. And by the way, can I turn that around and say, kids have got to forgive mom and daddy. You say, my daddy wasn't very consistent. You should try being somebody else's kid. They're all inconsistent. And I'm telling you something, you kids get bitter because of how you were raised or where you were raised, this, that, and the other. You're going to have to get over it and forgive. Heard about a girl at a Bible camp. Man, you're talking about Bible camps, or you're talking about kids, and I hear all those stories about these kids. A girl down in Texas came up there and told one of the people at the council, one of her counselors said, I said, I've been raised in a Christian home and all this, and said, but I've been looking at some pictures of my mom and dad back years ago. I went through some albums and stuff, and she said, when I was supposed to have been born, she said, my mama did not show that she was expecting. And she said, I checked it out hard. And she said, I finally come to point something wrong. And she said, I went to my mom and dad and said, and then they just broke down and told her, said, you're adopted, never had told her. You know what that girl did? She killed herself. She killed herself. She said, if my natural mama didn't love me, nobody could love me. She could not imagine how, that if her own natural mother didn't love her, how could anybody else ever love her? You listen to me? You've got to forgive your mom and daddy. Maybe your mom and daddy dumped you out at the foot of some place. Maybe your mom and daddy didn't care. But God cares. Boy, I got a blessing the other night, and Connie said, give that verse to them girls. I'll tell you what, my father and my mother forsake me, the Lord will take me up. Amen. Listen, you got it. I don't care who it is. It might be your parents. It might be your children. It might be your brothers. It might be your sister. But you have got to forgive. If you're in this church house this morning, we're not here playing social club. You better get a hold of this thing. I better get a hold of this thing. Listen, we're not going to go on for God. We're not going to see the glory of God unless we have victory in the area of forgiveness. Amen. Your boss may have done you dirty. Heard something bother me yesterday. I didn't say anything. I got enough troubles. I don't try to jump in everything anymore. The guy walked up to another guy standing real close to by and said, I can't believe so-and-so said. She worked up here at a place and said they fired her for stealing a Pepsi. I wanted to say, if she'll steal a Pepsi, she'll steal money.
That's right.
They did the right thing for her. They treated her good. They loved her enough to fire her. But then it's going on about how this, you know, the boss fired her for stealing the Pepsi. Bless his heart, he ought to get a ribbon for it. But I'm saying this to you. You're going to get done dirty. What if you'd done the best you could and you never done nothing wrong? And the boss comes in, fires you, doesn't give you anything, throws you out. You can't get, let me tell you, I can forgive your boss. What about your employees that stole from you, your employees that went out and talked about you, and went out and you tried to give them a job, and you tried to treat them good, and you tried to do the best you could, and all you ever hear is garbage coming back from them. How they hate the boss, how they hate you. You're making too much money. You just got to forgive them. You going to let that just string you out? You got to forgive them. How about your coworkers? Man, I want to tell you something. You need to learn how to forgive if you're going to work with people, amen? Your neighbors. How about the brethren in church? And how about God? I want to tell you something. I've seen situation after situation where even grown people, their parents, maybe their mom or dad got cancer. And I'll tell you what, they shrivel up to 80 pounds and hair all comes out. And just keep going down. And the church anoints them with oil and praise. And everybody does all they knew and they die. And then they get bitter at God. Won't forgive God for their parent dying or the child dying. Just, you got to forgive. That's why God's commands to forgive. If the devil doesn't get you with lust and liquor and worldliness and unbelief and doubt or discouragement, he'll freeze your heart with unforgiveness. We've talked about the misunderstanding of forgiveness, that it's not forgetting, it's not feelings. You know, it's not any of that junk. It's not necessarily being friends, it's not necessarily being in fellowship. We've talked about managing that forgiveness the way Christ did on the cross. But thirdly, I want to preach and go home about the ministry. And this is what I appreciate so much. This makes it worth it to me. Because there is a ministry in forgiveness. Number one, the ministry of forgiveness will make you respond to the needs of other people, or at least where you can serve other people. I want you to think about this. Jesus was on the cross of Calvary. Spit, blood. You read the 22nd Psalm and you'll see a picture of Christ on the cross. And he says, Father, forgive them. You know what else the Bible records that he said? He looked over at the Apostle John and said, Behold thy mother. And he was interested in serving and taking care of people while he was even dying on the cross. Now let me tell you what unforgiveness will do to you. It'll make you where you can't see the needs of anybody else. Unforgiveness will make you the most selfish person in the world. It will cause you to be self-centered. But when you forgive, all of a sudden, God enables you to be a blessing and minister to other people. Here he is. I'm saying to you that God gave us his example on that cross, that while you're suffering, while you're being offended, while you're being hurt, concentrate on forgiving so that you can minister to other people in the midst of that hurt. I want to tell you, your testimony is the brightest and the most shining and the most blessed when you're in the middle of being hurt by other people and you are able to forgive those people. God will open up doors of opportunity to become a blessing. But if you don't forgive first, then it'll just become a closed-in world. It'll become a world of selfishness. Someone has said that forgiveness is the fruit of not thinking God did you wrong. Forgiveness is the fruit of not thinking that God did you wrong. Secondly, the ministry of forgiveness is not only being able to focus and respond to the needs of other people, and that it kills our self-centeredness. But secondly, it helps us to reach people that cannot be reached any other way. Jesus is on the cross. Now listen to me. The Bible teaches that both those men were casted stuff at him. Both those thieves were casting in his teeth. They were making snide statements at him. If you're the Son of God, save us and save yourself and us too. Neither one of them believed in him. But you know what the Bible records? Jesus Christ forgave. One of them saw it. And did you know Jesus led that man to himself through his forgiveness? That man saw, let me tell you something. When people see you forgive people that are hurting you, that is supernatural. That's God-like. And at that moment, the Holy Ghost of God can pierce into a man's soul that nobody else can reach and say, finally I see God in that person. Because they're able to forgive in the midst of their hurting. Now I'm preaching in water way over my head right now. I'm bobbing up and down, okay? I ain't sitting up here saying I got to, that I do it. I'm telling you, I'm preaching it. I'm going to try to live it when I leave here. All right? But you know what I want? I want to be challenged. That's one reason I preach this. I want to be challenged. I don't want to sit around and just canker and, you know, just kind of justify and alibi and all that junk. I want God to deal with me. We can reach others that nobody else can reach. He had been cussing the Lord. And when the lost see you forgive, God will give you an inroad to their soul. I'm tempted to tell you a true story, but boy, it's so rough that I just wonder about it, but I'm going to go ahead. There was a man in Texas. They called him Blind Bobby. He's a piano player. Concert pianist, and he had a gift from God. He could play the piano. Blind Bobby went up through years, and he would go, he went through churches first, the churches that had him come and play the piano and give his testimony. And then he got to where he was going through Texas public schools down there, and they would have him come in and play the piano. I want to tell you something. These schools are going crazy. You know that. I mean, there's a bunch of idiotic mob violent stuff going on. This Blind Bobby got done with this concert, had walked over to a stairway, and this girl acted like she was going to help him. And a guy, and they had planned this thing out, and this guy come through and bumped him and knocked him down this big old set of steel stairways. He fell clear to the bottom, and before anything could hardly happen, those kids in that little gang were jumping on him, and here was the deal. His eyes seemingly were perfect. He just couldn't see. And he had always hoped and prayed that someday they'd come with some kind of surgery or some method where he could see. Because he had his eyes. They seemed to be normal except that he was blind. They got down at the bottom of the step, and one of those girls took her heel of her shoes and popped both his eyeballs out. Took a heel of the shoes she had on and busted those eyeballs. And he told this man this, he said, I can remember the fluid in my eyes running down the side and the first thought thinking, I will never see now. They got him to the hospital, and he was in the hospital, and he was sitting there, and he was going through this anguish and through this bitterness and going through all this, why did this have to happen to me, God? I was blind already, God. Why did this have to happen? Why did this have to happen? God, why did you let this happen? And he said, the Lord began to speak to him. He said, Bobby, I want you to forgive that girl. Bobby, I want you to pray for that girl right now. God, I don't want to pray for her. God, I wish you'd kill her. Oh, Bobby, pray for that girl. Bobby, pray for that girl. And Bobby lay in the hospital room. Now, this is a few days after it happened. Bobby cried out verbally, oh, Father! Father! Forgive that girl who stepped in my eyes. And what he didn't know was that girl was within 15 feet of his bed. That girl had gotten under such burden, such conviction, that she snuck in the hospital, came down, found where he was at, and was standing outside his bedside. And when she heard him pray, Father, forgive that girl, she dropped down to her feet, worked her way into the room, and called over there by the bed and said, Sir, I'm the girl that busted your eyes out. How can you ask God to forgive me? And he led that girl to Christ beside his bedside. Now, I'm going to tell you something bad because this is a true story. That girl got saved, began to live for the Lord. God used her in music ministry. But 11 years later, now you listen to me. Somebody's talking about this morning, you don't understand God. It rains on the just and on the unjust. 11 years later, that girl was coming home from a church service where she had sung. And coming down the road, there's a car blocked. A bunch of boys jumped out of the car, jerked her out of the car, raped her, and put her eyes out and killed her in the ditch. 11 years afterward, put her eyes out. I'm telling you something. I don't understand everything. But I want to tell you this. When you die, when you face God, you want to know that you've forgiven people. You want to reap the least that you can. Let me finish up by saying there's a ministry in forgiveness because we can be at rest. We're not in turmoil. We can be at peace. A man called me this morning from Tennessee. And he said, Reggie, I listened to some of your messages on the truck 4 and 5 times over and over again. And he said, because he said, God just keeps showing me stuff. But he said, one thing you said on a message one time that I so appreciate. He said that you're a preacher, not a debater. He said, it's wrong. You said, don't try to go around debating everybody, but give them the gospel. That God hadn't called us to debate, but to preach and to give the gospel to people. Let me tell you about the ministry of forgiveness. I don't have to win an argument. All I have to do is be right. I don't have to win the argument. When I come to the end of the road about this life, I don't have to make everybody think that I won the fight or the argument. What I have to know is that I was right. And what you need to do is today is not worry about whether everything is all right, everything is fixed. You need to know that you're right. That's what's going to count when you stand before God. It's not whether you won some kind of a, you know, going around talking about it and whether you had all this garbage and you're justifying and trying to carve out how right you are and how wrong they are or this, that, the other. The only thing that's going to count is where you're right. Now this is pretty wild and I'll try to get out of here. Forgiving people will bring God's power into your life. Jesus never ever said till the end of his, till after he had risen from the dead, till after he had that forgiveness situation, that all power is given unto me. That was at the end of his ministry. And there's a lesson in there. That when you forgive people, God will empower your life for his glory. But when you won't forgive people, you're going to lack in power. You're going to lack in power to have joy, peace, vibrancy, testimony. You're just going to lack power. And without him, you can do nothing. But when you forgive people, God will give you power. You'll have power in your Christian life. And I will say finally, and we stand, you're going to have to forgive people that don't even know they've offended you. You know what Jesus said? Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. There's something I figured out about Reg Kelly that I've offended people and I didn't even know it. That is the flat truth. How many has ever found out later that so-and-so was offended by what you said or offended by what you... Now, if this book offends you, I don't apologize for it. I don't apologize for the book. But I will tell you, if my attitude, if my actions, if my words that were not godly offended, but you know what the truth about it is? Most of the offenses you're going to commit, you may never know about it. And most of the offenses that people are committing against you, they don't even know it. You got to forgive them even though they don't even know they've offended you. And if you wait to find out and you're trying to send them signals, well, have yourself a good old self-cankered up time, but I'm going on. Amen. Aren't you glad Jesus Christ forgave him and went on through the grave and went on through the resurrection and went on to glory? And aren't you glad he's coming back? He forgave him and went on. So you know what my advice to you today is? Forgive him and just go on down the road. All right? Amen. Let's stand and go home. I love y'all. Everybody happy? Ashley, have you forgiven Sam for breaking your leg yet? All right. Listen. I thank God that I got a wife who forgives me. I thank the Lord my children have forgiven me. And I thank you folks for forgiving me. I'm a pretty old rough piece of wood. But I want you to pray for me that I'd forgive. So God could be used and glorified by using my life. And so that I don't get cankered down and don't have the power of God. A lot of things in here. Y'all got every bit I preached, didn't you? Gonna go practice every little that last bit of it, ain't you? Well, when you fall down this week, just remember, by grace, we are what we are by the grace of God. I see Brother Moxley's got his sister with him today. It's good to have you. You love him. You do. I knew you did. I could tell just by being with him. I enjoyed each other. Brother Moxley, did you guys ever fight when you was young? Little bit. Have you forgiven her? Okay. Well, won't you pray and dismiss us from our service today since you've forgiven her? All right. I just want to say it's good to have you here today. Brother, dismiss us if you would. Thank you for being here today. Tonight I'm going to be preaching in Deuteronomy about rape. What constitutes rape? Some pretty rough situations can be in life. Brother Moxley, dismiss us if you would.